Support for Fresh Take is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming champions of the world. Manscaped offers precision-engaged tools for your family jewels. Manscaped just launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. That's right, the 4.0. Join over 20 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer to you for 20% off and free shipping worldwide with code FTNPOD at manscaped.com. I'm one of the lucky few that have tried the new Lawnmower 4.0, and I have been blown away by the performance. Just unbelievable. The upgraded trimmer includes a multi-function on and off switch that can engage a travel lock. It also gives you the ability to turn on the 4000K, it's over 4000, LED spotlight on and off when you need a more precise shave. Did I mention wireless charging? Oh, Nelly. It's got wireless charging to make it simple and easy to charge the fantastic 4.0. Get 20% off and free shipping worldwide with the code FTNPOD at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. And use the code FTNPOD and unlock your confidence and always use the right tools to get the job done with Manscaped.
You are listening to the Fresh Take Network.
Let's go, everybody. Welcome to the very first episode of F101 on the FTN Network. Super stoked to be here. 2022 Formula One season coming up. My name's Kelso, and to my right is Big J. He's one of my best friends, F1 Junkie. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great. Doing great. Thrilled to be here with you, Kelso. Thanks for having me on, buddy.
Absolutely.
Huge fan of the podcast. Huge fan.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. No problems. Hey, let's just get right into it. What are you looking forward to for Formula One, and why do you watch it?
Well, I mean, how can we look past Lewis Hamilton, Max Verstappen, Mercedes, Red Bull? I mean, last year had it all, the way it finished, the drama. It was just a thrill right to the end. I can't wait to see where it picks up this year. What do you say, Kels?
Oh, it's absolutely phenomenal. For me, I mean, the racing's number one, but the high drama that you see before the race, after the race, on social media, that is definitely something that draws me in every single time. I'm a sucker for it, and that's why I absolutely keep coming back. I mean, watching Drive to Survive, Netflix definitely helped. It gives you a fantastic overview of what you missed, what you can expect, and everything in the future. What do you think about that?
Yeah. For me, you know, just like you said, it's all about the drama. I love the series Drive to Survive, but really it was all love. It was my fiance. You know, she's a real gearhead. She's a real metalhead. She likes the hard rock. She likes the hard cock. And she's a great girl. She's really into racing. And that's what dragged me into it. And now I'm a big fan. And that's why they call me Big J.
Oh, that's absolutely awesome. Brand new formula this year. No pun intended. We got some brand new cars, brand new technology, and we got some brand new drivers. So, I mean, first of all, brand new cars. Everyone's got a new chassis this year. Everyone's got brand new tires. And the playing field is pretty much level at this season. So, I mean, I have no idea what to expect.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you this. That Mercedes car, that is ugly.
That is one of the worst cars on the paddock, 100%.
I don't care if it's fast. It just looks awful. And I'm a Mercedes guy. I love that team. I love Hamilton, Toto Wolff, what they've done. But boy, oh boy, could they go back to the drawing board with some new paint on that one. And speaking of nice cars, that Alpine, holy smokes.
That is the ugliest car that is. Come on. The blue and the pink, I know it's traditional, but it is the ugliest color combination you can possibly pick. For me, it's Red Bull and Ferrari all the way. Give me the classic dark reds, dark blacks. They look phenomenal. They look fast. Best cars in the paddock.
Yeah, speaking of fast, watch out for that Williams team this year. I got them pegged. I got them pegged for a big jump up the standings here, folks. We're going from last to second last. I think they're going to finish ninth. That's one of my bold predictions, and we will get into those in a little bit here. But yeah, mark my words. Williams finishing ninth this year. Here we go.
Finishing ninth. I mean, that is a bold prediction. They got to score points, period, to just get up into ninth. All right, so talking about the new cars, we've got some new tire sizes. We've jumped up from 15-inch to 18-inch. They are now low-profile tires. Personally, I don't think they're going to last. Pirelli had some issues last season with tires blowing really when they really shouldn't have. The weather wasn't too hot. The track was perfect, and they were blowing up. I don't think Pirelli's got it with this combination, but, I mean, we're going to see halfway through the season, I guess.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. A lot of changes to the aerodynamics of the vehicles, the designs, that with all the idea of making it a more competitive atmosphere. Let's see how the tires hold up. I think with close head-to-head racing and, you know, the ability to follow fast around the corners this year, those tires are going to be taking a beating out there. So good luck, Pirelli. Thanks for all your work. You know, last year, give you a B+. This year, I got a big question mark.
Yeah, and not only are the cars different, they're also heavier. We're talking 38 kilos heavier than last year, which means there's more stress on the tires around the corners on the streets, which is why they went bigger, but they went lower profile. But if you can't get your basic design right, I don't think they're going to work with a heavier car. They're just going to tear them up, especially in hotter places like you're doing Bahrain, you're doing Texas. It's a hotter track. Those tires are just going to explode. Like it's going to be havoc and it's going to be embarrassing.
Yeah. A lot to think about this year, a lot of changes. And I think the first few races are going to tell us a bit, but as this year goes on with all the aerodynamic and design changes behind the vehicles, I think we're in for some surprises.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The cars are looking pretty much as fast as they were last year. The designs are fantastic. So for anybody who doesn't know, pretty much the teams got a blank slate. They got a basic chassis, and the rules were come up with something that's fast, and that's individually to each team, essentially. And we got some pretty wild designs from Mercedes with almost no side pods at all to Ferrari with almost, you know, a foot and a half deep side pod. So it's nice to see them actually building cars instead of just all the cars from 1 through 10 for the teams. They pretty much look the same from last year. So it's nice to see some variety, actually, which is I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, me too, Kels. Yeah, me too. I think the controversy has already started. I've heard a few complaints out of the Red Bull department.
Yeah.
And a little bit of a rebuttal from Mercedes. I think that's going to be fast and furious out of the gate here. Those guys are going to be barking at each other. But it'll be interesting to see who comes out on top. Lots of different designs this year.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the two top teams in Formula One, they're always going to be, I don't want to say nitpicking, but they're keeping each other in check definitely from the beginning of the season to the very last race of the season. It's going to be phenomenal. Read an article today. The FIA is investigating Mercedes for their side pods, if they even count as side pods. And that was just new today. So, I mean, Red Bull's already picking at them. They're making them second guess what they've designed before even the first race, which is next week. They've got 7 days before they hit Bahrain. And if you can't run what you got, what are you going to do? Right? They're making the Mercedes techs earn their money this year.
Yeah, that's gonna be a big one. All the behind the scenes politics that goes into Formula One. It's an amazing.
That's the best part of Formula One. Yeah, it's a great aspect. Yeah.
You know, you think it's all about the driver, all about the car. You know, the guys who run these teams and the, you know, work that's put in from the engineering side of things. It's something to be talking about for sure.
Yeah. I mean, and hopefully this year they've got some of the political stuff figured out from last year. There was a lot of back and forth that kind of took away from the racing and took away from the drivers themselves and their accomplishments and how well they actually drove. So I'm hoping this year it's dialed right back into how well the drivers do, the teams do, and a lot less of what he said, she said, what he built, what he can have, what he can't have.
That's true. So, Kels, what do you got for us? Let's hear some bold predictions for the year.
Bold predictions. So, generally, in the history of Formula One the last 5 years, Haas has come absolutely dead last. No points. Either both cars don't finish or they're finished dead last. There's a controversy with Nikita Mazepin, also known as Mazespin. He's gone. Their sponsorship is gone from Haas, the Russian sponsorship. So now the Haas team's got to dig deep. I'm saying Haas will go from absolutely zero to absolutely hero. They're going to win at least one Grand Prix this season. They've got Mick Schumacher. His dad was the Formula One legendary Michael Schumacher. And they brought in a replacement driver, Kevin Magnussen, who drove for Haas in the 2019-2020 season. So they've got some solid pedigree. They've got some experience and they got a brand new car. They did all their upgrades this season. They're going to win a Grand Prix this year and they're going to stun everybody. And not just because everybody crashed and everybody's out, but they're actually legitimately going to win a Grand Prix.
Yes, I mean, bold prediction. Bold prediction there. let me see what I got here. This is a pretty easy one. My boy, Daniel Ricciardo, McLaren. You know him.
Honey Badger.
He's fast, driving the papaya.
Yeah.
I'm going to say he's going to outdrive his counterpart, Lando Norris. Love him too. But you know what? Ricciardo had a tough start last year.
Yeah.
And now I know he's a little more in tune with the car. But you know what? It's a new car. So let's see what Norris can do. He's got to pick up some new skills. I'm saying Ricciardo, he's going to finish ahead of Norris in the Drivers' Championship. There's one bold prediction for you. Yeah,
Ricciardo's been out with COVID. He's missed the entire final testing in Bahrain, and Lando Norris put in over 200 laps yesterday because he's the only driver for McLaren. Do you think that's going to help him or hinder him or just make him more hungry to do the best that he possibly can? And do you think he's going to make the race this weekend?
Without a doubt. He'll be racing. I mean, he's the kind of guy... He's got the experience behind his seat, you know, behind the steering wheel. He's the guy you want when you don't have time to do the testing. You want an experienced guy to come in there.
Yeah.
Somebody who's confident. I mean, he's the honey badger. He's been around the track a few times.
He never gives up.
And I think he's hungry. I think he got a little taste after that win in Italy last year. It's time. It's time for him to step up and take the number one seat at McLaren. I'm standing behind that one.
All right. Yeah. All right. One of my most controversial bold predictions is that Mercedes, the seven-time world champion, constructors champion, drivers champion, they're not winning the constructors and they're not winning the drivers championship this year. They're winning nothing. They're coming in second. Brand new cars. Mercedes is so on the back foot so far. Even their own driver, their number one driver, is saying that they are so far behind everybody else. And when it comes to car performance, Hamilton doesn't mess around. He doesn't play to the media. He says what he feels. I think they're not going to be able to recover. Red Bull is so far ahead of them. Max is already adapted to driving the brand new car. I don't think they're getting it this year.
Yeah, that right there is a bold prediction.
Yep.
I mean... What do they got? Seven championships in a row, Mercedes?
Seven championships, yeah. Red Bull won last year.
Yeah, and you know, that was a controversial win. Don't get me started on that. It should have been Mercedes.
Not. There's no way.
Anyways, that's last year. We're talking about this year. That is a bold prediction. I'll give you that. You know, you're going to be eating your lunch on that one. So, what else we got here? I'm going to say Gasly. This guy, he's had a good stretch of years. You know, he's really taken that number one role at AlphaTauri. He's been a go-to guy. Last year, he was turning it on. He was fighting with McLaren, fighting with Ferrari, constantly qualifying in the top five. You know, that guy had a lot of points. So I'm going to say I think he's moving this year. There's no way he's coming back. He's on a one-year deal. Watch out, Sergio Perez. If you are slow out of the gate in the first half of the season with Red Bull, I think, and Gasly comes out of a cannon, just ready to go, I think it's a no-brainer. Red Bull is going to swap them. I wouldn't even say it's going to make the season. I'd say maybe even halfway. If Gasly's beating them by the halfway point, watch out, Sergio Perez. You guys are swapping seats. There's another bold prediction for you.
You are arguably taking the best, in my opinion, the best second driver in Formula One and just giving him a half a season to prove if he can still stick around. That's a bold prediction. I do agree Gasly will be on the move from AlphaTauri. I don't think it's going to be Red Bull. I think they've invested too much in Checo to just not necessarily throw him to the side, but to replace them. I can see him going to, you know, like I can see him going to potentially Mercedes if Russell just doesn't pan out. The other big move from last season from Williams to Mercedes is Russell's got some massive shoes to fill. Valtteri Bottas went to Alfa Romeo.
Yeah. I wonder if there's a fit over at Williams if Latifi moves on. If they
would be a good fit, I would think.
You know, that team's poised to make a few strides this year, and and maybe Gasly lands there if that new design, that team looks promising. But
yeah,
tell you one thing, Gasly has never been in a championship car.
No.
And you know, no matter what the team's name is, he's going for the fastest car he can get himself in.
Absolutely. And I think he got a raw deal when he got bumped up to Red Bull. I don't think they gave him a full fair chance to show what he could do, modify the car to him, and he could really drive and really get comfortable. I don't think he had enough time to do that. But it'll be very interesting to see where Gasly ends up.
Yep, I agree.
Yep. So my other bold prediction. So George Russell came from Williams last year. He's now the second driver for Mercedes. He replaces Valtteri Bottas. I actually think because Russell's hungry, he wants to win. He wants to be that next guy for Mercedes. Russell's scoring more points than Hamilton. I think that Russell is going to be able to adapt to a new car faster and better than Hamilton does.
Wow.
Russell's driving is a little bit more to the car.
How many championships Hamilton got?
He's got 7 in a row.
And how many does Russell have?
I see in the future him having more than
And Hamilton. That right there, folks, is a bold prediction.
But Hamilton makes the car drive to him where Russell drives the way the car drives. So I think Russell's going to have an easier time adapting than Hamilton, because we all know Hamilton loves to complain and blame the pit crew and blame his technicians if he doesn't have a good race and he finishes less than second.
Man, that's a bold one. I'll go that's one step further. Like that team, that lineup, Lewis and Russell against Verstappen and Perez.
It's a deadly combo.
If Mercedes can figure out the car...
Yeah.
Uh-oh, Christian Horner, you're going to be sweating on that one, let me tell you. I got one more for you here. Okay.
What do you got?
I was taking it back. I now that we've been chatting about it, I think Williams is going to do a little bit better than I earlier had insinuated to. So I'm just actually going to go ahead and say they're taking fifth. They're going to establish themselves as a midfield team. I think this year they're going to make a major, major step. And you're going to see the likes of a few of those midfield guys start to slip down that slope. I think Williams is poised. And they got Albon in there. You know, they got the Canadian Latifi. Mm-hmm. They got, you know, quite a reshuffling in the last few years between management and investors.
Yeah, it's almost car a design. Brand new setup.
Yeah, they've, you know, a few times last year, some interesting strategies mid-race to try and get some points. Sometimes they got burned. Sometimes they made the right call. And you know, they had a few really good showings. I know Russell's gone, but
yeah,
I think they're going to make a major jump. And, you know, I'm not sure if they'll have the same driver lineup for 2023, but I think 2022 is going to be a great year for Williams. So
absolutely. I think Williams they're going to rocket up the standings. They've got nowhere else to go but up. They've got the new management. They got some new drivers. I think when they change strategies... a bunch of races last year, they're doing one-stop races when you're doing 53 laps or more. Unless you're Lewis Hamilton or you're Max and you have that car and you have that driving experience, a one-stop race, it's not viable. You're going to have a great second half and you're screwing your driver over because your tires are dead by the end of the race, and that's when you need those fresh tires. Yeah. So I think when they make the changes to their strategies, that it's going to be, they're going to be heads and tails above Haas. They're going to really give Aston Martin something to really be concerned about.
Yeah.
They're going to be one of those... They're going to bring back the legacy of the Williams name again.
Yeah. No, I've got my money on them for sure.
Yeah.
Peg them for fifth.
Peg them for fifth. All right. Coming back to Haas for me, my very last bold prediction is because Haas lost their major sponsorship, and there's been... talk in the last year or two that the motorsport legend, and I'm talking legend, NASCAR, Formula One, you name it, his name in the States is gold. He is the Wayne Gretzky, the Michael Jordan of motorsport. The Andretti name is what we're talking about. That they're going to come in and they're going to be the major sponsor for Haas. And then by 2024, not this year, 2024, that Haas will be the very first all produced, managed, and hometown American F1 team. He brings the money. He brings the experience. He's already developing his own stuff with no financial limitations, so he can just easily adapt to the Formula One outlines, and they're off to the races.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he could be a real threat in Formula One. You know, the experience, the name, they're huge. Financial backing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you put that together, just the race know-how, the knowledge of aerodynamics, how cars are put together, how teams and races are put together. They have a wealth of experience. So the Andretti group, you know, I'm excited to see them. I don't know. Personally, I don't think they're going to be purchasing Haas. I would maybe go as far as saying we see maybe a couple new teams in the next few years, and maybe they're one of them. So maybe a different direction, but nonetheless, they're coming into Formula One. I agree with you on that, Kel.
Absolutely.
One way or another.
I mean, to me, it makes sense. The Haas group that owns Haas, he's an American business billionaire. So, I mean, if you're talking two financial partners that are both American and you can move to a cheaper country, you move your setup from England to the U.S., you still got all the plants, you've got all your coordination, all your techs. To me, it just makes financial sense for them to move from Europe to the States, an all-American sports team, and you're going to draw numbers in and sponsorship deals that there's no way Formula One and the FIA would say, nope, you know what, we're going to keep it in England.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we had the race at the Circuit of Americas down in Houston.
Great race.
It was a good showing by all. And I know Miami is soon to be there. So, you know, things like Netflix, Drive to Survive, and these tracks opening up in the States, they're really ramping up the interest. I think that there's going to be a huge push to get into the American market.
Yeah.
And Andretti will be the face of that, as well as will Haas. And I'm excited to see the future of racing in North America. I think it's going to be great. I think it's long overdue. So. Yeah.
And, I mean, the other face of American racing, which seems kind of odd, is Daniel Ricciardo. Every time they're in the States, he is the poster boy. He promotes Formula One. He has the most fun. He's inviting. It wouldn't surprise me. Now, I mean, strike me dead if this happens. It wouldn't surprise me that if at some point they threw enough money at Daniel Ricciardo that he goes to Haas when they become a full American team.
Yeah.
He would absolutely thrive there like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah, and for those who don't know the magnitude of what Kelsey's talking about, that's like David Beckham going over to play soccer, not football, in North America. So that's a big move.
When it came to the LA Galaxy. Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's a big move for Daniel Ricciardo. Personally, let's just go ahead and say that is my favorite driver. And
100%.
You know, for his career, I mean, this guy, I think he has the potential to be a world champion. I mean, he's won races. He's hit podiums. Mm-hmm. He's a late breaker. He's aggressive. He's got a great attitude. Just carries himself through a full season.
Yeah.
He's got that experience, you know, and it'll be interesting to see if he can put it together in McLaren this year. I really hope that guy, we see him on the podium and in first place many times.
Oh, absolutely.
He's earned it.
Unlike his previous teams at Renault, especially Renault, I think he's really finding that vibe with McLaren. Everybody's getting along. He's getting along with Lando. He loves the management. You can just see he's more comfortable there. The more comfortable you are, the better you race. The better you race, the higher you place, the more money you bring in, the happier your drivers will be. And it's gravy all the way around. It's great.
Absolutely.
Another introduction to this season is they're bringing back the sprint races. They're doing 4 sprint races this year. So anybody who doesn't know, normally for F1, if the race is on Sunday, Saturday you do qualifying. Fastest lap to the slowest lap, that's your positions 1 through 20. So what they've done is a sprint race is a mini race before the race. So what they do is you're going to do the top, I believe it's top 10.
Top 10.
Top 10. And you are racing 10 laps where you're racing. So, for example, next weekend if they're doing a sprint race in Bahrain, the top 10 drivers are racing 10 laps, and that's how you're going to get your podium. It's ridiculously exciting to see. You can see where the drivers are overconfident, super stressed. You can kind of tell how the weekend's going to go, and it's just more, I love it. It's just more excitement before the race because it almost builds up the animosity and the stress for the next day, for Sunday. And generally, that excitement carries into Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, some teams, their strengths lie in the race itself. Some lie in qualifying. You know, in practice, you get to try out a few different things: car heavy, full of fuel; car light. You know, different aerodynamic features on the wings, on the front and the back. But this essentially takes out Saturday's day of practice. It's a lot less practice. You get right into the race. Mm-hmm. And some teams are great on low fuel. Yep. You know, just the setup for a short race. So it'll be interesting to see, and has a massive impact on Sunday's starting position. So so again, another curveball. Sometimes we see some of those, you know, lower end teams from last year. They've jumped up the ranks, and you know, everybody seems to have, it's a roll of the dice, and Sunday is a bit of a mixed match for what you would usually expect, but again, adds to the thrill. So,
and you're getting points for the sprint race as well. The top eight drivers get points that count towards your overall team points and your individual driver points. So there's always something to lose when it comes to sprint races. Not just you could trash your car and all of a sudden you can't race on Sunday.
Yeah.
But if you're first, you're getting points. You've got your dominance established. And with the brand new cars this season, you really have no idea what's going to happen during sprint races. I love it. I love the idea of it. I think they should. I mean, three races is still pretty tame out of the 23 they've got this year. So 20 races, you're still doing regular qualifying. I can see 2023, they bump it up to, you know, 5 or 10. Weather permitting, of course, in some areas. But I think it's much better racing. The drivers seem to do much better on Sundays. It gets them focused a lot faster.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think this whole championship is due for a bit of an upgrade. I think we're going to see a few new teams. I think we're going to see a few more sprint races.
Yeah.
You know, maybe even a few more races per year. We're going to see Formula One trickle into some new markets. It'll be interesting to see, you know, where the teams go, and with design and cost caps coming in. I think we're in a massive growth period in the next 5 years in Formula One, and a massive change period where how Formula One is run. From an officiating standpoint, just how that's structured, and you know, how the teams can develop their cars financially and actually what they put on the pavement. That's going to be more defined. So I think we're in for some change, and we're in for some growth. It's an exciting time to be part of Formula One and be a fan.
Absolutely. Watching it on TV, if you don't know the terminology, you can get lost really, really fast. I found that when I first started watching Formula One. I mean, terms you're going to hear along the time is like power unit. When I'm watching Formula One, what's a power unit? What the hell is it? That's just their fancy word for their engine. A lot of these cars have a lot of EcoBoosts in them now. A lot of the fuel modifications that you see in brand new cars come from Formula One. So they're trying to get a lot more eco-friendly fuel in there, more power. So power unit, it essentially equals engine. Fuel cell, and it's a fancy word for a gas tank. Which brings me to the idea of, like, you got heavier cars. We haven't heard any change about the fuel cell itself. I haven't heard there's more fuel in the cars. I haven't heard there's less fuel in the cars. Will we see cars running out of fuel during a race because these cars are heavier and they're pushing them that much faster?
Yeah, I mean, there's a chance. There's a chance every year, and it's not only about finishing the race, but you have to have a certain amount of fuel in the vehicle after the race, post-race. Asked Vettel about that one. Last year he finished, he had to pull over on, I think, three corners after the finish line.
Yep.
Didn't have enough to get a sample from the car, and got disqualified, costing him a podium. So that was...
I think he got first that race, too,
great
that they
lesson
took away
to be
from
learned.
Him.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Massive topic. Porpoising hasn't been around since the 80s, since they developed the new cars. Essentially what porpoising is that the car bounces because the setup of the cars are so different that you're losing traction. You're bouncing up and down a little bit more, and you'll see the cars kind of like on a bumpy road, and it's going to go up and down. And some of these drivers, they're complaining. They got migraines. They got headaches. They're trashing the bottom of the cars. They just haven't figured it out because it hasn't been around in the 80s.
Yeah.
What's old is new again, apparently.
Very true. Very true. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I think early season winner, whoever can overcome porpoising.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it's with the new design, it's kind of inevitable to come into the first couple of races and have to deal with things like this. Yep. But, you know, this is going to be a big issue. Whoever masters this first, they're going to be getting early points.
And there's some reports from the testing that porpoising is happening during the corners. So instead of going up and down, they're going side to side when they come out of the corner. They got new stiffs. They got push suspensions this year, which means there's a little bit more give, and they're starting to bounce side to side. And some of the drivers are now taking the corner slower. They're still learning how to drive all over again. So that could make a very interesting race. Hopefully we don't see any flips because someone decides to pass on a corner and all of a sudden they go for a ride. But, I mean, these drivers got to learn on the fly.
Yeah, I'm excited to see this year. You know, the whole MO, as we said, was to change the design of the car to make it more aggressive, easier to pass, yep. less turbulent air kicked out of the back of the as you're driving. And kind of what we mean by that is it used to be incredibly hard to follow behind somebody and pick up speed and get to the point where you could overtake them. Overtaking was something that was very, very challenging to do, and
yeah,
which helped engineers develop new systems here to kind of get you allowed to follow through the corners, fall through the straights, yep, a lot closer, making passing and being more aggressive easier to obtain.
Yeah.
One other term that they are bringing in, I fucked that one up.
What are you talking about? The DRS coming in?
Yeah.
Oh, the drag reduction system. So when you're watching Formula One, what you see is sometimes you'll see the big logo on the back wing, and then all of a sudden it's gone. So what that is that there is an attachment on the wing that when it goes flat, what it does is it suctions the car down on the track and gives you 20 miles horsepower more. So you're going that much faster and you can catch up to someone in front of you much, much faster. And you can now follow behind the car ahead of you within, it's like 1/15th of a second. Like, you are right behind them now. So this DRS and this porpoising is really coming into play now, where you can follow so close behind them, you'll be able to read the sponsorship on the back of the driver ahead of you behind his helmet. So the DRS is a massive system that a lot of people use. Hamilton uses it the best, in my opinion, as much as I hate to admit this. He uses DRS to his advantage the most out of any driver. So it'll be very interesting to see how well they do it, or how well they incorporate it this year, being able to follow so close. If it's even useful. It may be useful, it may be not. When you're that close and you hit your DRS, are you going to hit the car ahead of you? Do you have time to get out of his way and go? Are you losing momentum? These are things that they're going to figure out as they go, which for viewers like us is going to make it that much more exciting.
Yeah, can't wait.
What else we got on the docket? I mean, I'm just excited. I'm just excited for Formula One to get going again. Drive to Survive on Netflix. I mean, it covers the bases. It just doesn't do it. That the sound of the Formula One cars, the excitement, the drama is definitely what I'm looking forward to this season. And just the back and forth every Sunday. You're watching that race. You know where they're going. It's just, it's amazing.
Yeah, can't wait. I'm going to be lucky enough to get out to Montreal this year. First time in the last three racing seasons that we've had a race in Montreal.
Yep.
So I can't wait.
Still jealous about that.
Canadian home soil. So it's going to be a great race. It's a street circuit. I've personally never been to the Montreal Grand Prix, so I can't wait to go. Kels, are you getting to any Grand Prix this year?
Unfortunately, I'm missing Montreal this year, although it is like a month before my birthday. It would be a nice birthday gift, but we're hoping to make it out for the Track of Americas out in Houston. It's, to me, the best track there is. It's wide open. There's a lot of chicanes. There's a lot of corners. The view is unparalleled. You can see everything from almost every corner. It's always great weather, which means these cars are going literally as fast as they possibly can. And it's just a roll of the dice. I'm super stoked about it.
Yeah, that's going to be a great race.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see that one.
All right, buddy. Is there anything else? Or should we wrap it up?
Let's wrap it up with... tell us who your favorite driver is. Who's your favorite team? Kels, tell us something we should probably guess.
As much as I love Daniel Ricciardo, my favorite driver, by all means, is Max Verstappen. I love how aggressive he drives. I love how he takes risks, but they're calculated risks. He pushes other drivers to their limit and makes them think, is it worth hitting that gap? If you don't hit the gap when you're a race car driver, you're not a race car driver. And Max hits those gaps every single time. Red Bull, I'm going to say they're repeating this year. Max is taking the driver's championship. Red Bull's taking the constructor's championship.
Wow.
And Jay, what about you?
Well, that was a bold statement there. I guess it's easy to formulate that opinion about Red Bull. They're pretty cool. They're pretty trendy. Verstappen, he's a good-looking guy. He's fast. I get it. just like all the other, you know, new people to Formula One, it's kind of fun to cheer for one of the fastest guys out there. But I'm just going to go ahead and say I love an underdog story. You can't beat my boy Danny Ric. Okay, McLaren, they've got a Mercedes engine. You know, they're an amazing team. I mean, for what it's worth, like, they've been really pushing up against issues with financing and having to work their way up the midfield. I think my boy Danny Ric, he's in for a big year. He's my favorite driver. McLaren's my favorite team. Let's go, papaya all the way.
I mean, they do have one of the nicest looking cars out there. Yeah, so
it's hard to beat.
It'll be great to see. First race we're looking at this weekend, which is the weekend of the 18th to the 20th. It's in Bahrain. Weather's always great. Make sure you tune in. Watch it. It's going to be a fantastic race. Talk to you guys later.
Thank you for listening to Fresh Take Network. Follow us on social media platforms at Fresh Take 42.